And as we welcome you back to the Two Guys Named Chris Show, Lisa Lanier does join us. She has several items on the docket today. One really hits close to home for me. It's a pickleball-related story. But I just wanted to tell Lisa how great it was to see her last night at our Christmas party. Lisa, how are you?
I'm fantastic. It was great to see you. But, you know, I didn't really get to visit with you or them, really. It was, it was odd. Like I saw, you know, we said hi, chatted for a second. But you guys were way over on the other side of the room, and it was a busy party. It was one of those things, you know, you go to a party, and you feel like the time goes by so fast, and you don't really get to have a conversation with people that you would like to.
I know. Yeah. Looked like the littlest Patriot really monopolized your time.
Yeah, man. He's so annoying.
He really did. Yeah. It was definitely, it was a KZL night over there.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
I didn't stray far from the bar, though. That was part
saw
of it.
Saw that, too.
You know,
yeah, we circulate.
Yeah, but we move.
And at least I don't think I've ever revealed this here, but I have a list I have here of people who will want free legal advice from you. He's number two, the littlest Patriot.
There's one other.
There's one ahead of him, think you know.
Yeah.
But number two, he's there with a bullet because he's gotten himself wrapped up in so many schemes.
Exactly. We should do a thing where you make a motion when you want to be rescued from the littlest Patriot next year, like running your hand through your hair.
Yes.
Yeah. One of those.
Now, what exactly is a tax shelter?
Yeah, you got to get away from him, Bobby. Well, still, though, great to see you, Leslie.
It was a great party. It was a great party. Good to see you.
Lisa's associates were with her, and they were telling me that she, when she's wherever, and we know this, she has done this program, this segment, from all sorts of different Iceland,
Hawaii. Yeah.
They showed me a mountain they were getting ready to climb, and they were like at the base of it, and Lisa said, oh, sorry, Chris and Chris.
Good God.
And then they climbed the mountain.
Kilimanjaro.
Wow. She did this, and then they climbed Kilimanjaro. Exactly. It was unreal.
No, it was, but you know, I absolutely love talking to you guys. It's the most fun thing that I do, and I'm always here for you.
Well,
I'm not, regardless of where I am.
She is. I mean, we've called her in the middle. You never know. She's always there with legal advice. This one hurts, Lisa, from Carmel, California. The city council has voted to permanently ban pickleball because five residents complained of the noise. And they only have one park that had pickleball, Forest Hill Park. Now, the town only has 3,000 people. And the folks who live nearby said, look, we're not trying to be difficult, but there's way too much noise here. So they shut it down. But the pickleball spokesperson said it goes along with a list of bad laws we have.
Laws against ice cream cones and high-heeled shoes. So this seems like another crazy one that they're going to outlaw pickleball.
They did. They went ahead and did it. What can we do, Lisa? Can you lead the charge? Can we fight this for the citizens of Carmel? I know.
You know all those old people in Carmel that are playing pickleball?
Well,
they just need to vote. They need to vote differently. They need to get some different people in there, though, because they're passing some bad laws for them.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely allowable under the law for the town to ban pickleball. Now, it's extreme. Because normally what most towns do is they strike a compromise where they put up like quiet hours where you can only play during certain hours, or they put up soundproofing on a wall, you know, that divides the pickleball court from the residential area. Or there's even now some quieter rackets that can be required. But instead of doing that, Carmel by the Sea has just said no more.
We're done
with
it.
And that was a bit extreme. But they can do it.
I know. Well, all that is true. I'm a pickleball aficionado. I play at least 3 times a week. But I will tell you.
Higher.
Okay. All right.
Oh, Biggie's playing high-low.
Biggie's playing the high-low game. I'll tell you, though, those noise dampening things, they help some, but they don't get rid of the noise. And most people do not. So far, I haven't seen any of those quiet paddles, quiet rackets out there. It's mostly just, and I just got a new paddle, and it's loud. It makes a nice loud sound.
Oh, yeah. There's a unique sound. It's that plastic on plastic sound.
I want to get you out there, Lisa. Mm-hmm. We're plastic on plastic out there.
If Lisa, I'll ask you, and Kelly, I'll ask you, and Biggie, feel free to chime in too. 5 years' time, 10 years' time, do you think there's a new city council in Carmel, and will pickleball ever be legal there?
I say yes.
Yeah.
I think someone will build.
If they're smart, they'll build a private complex. That's what they'll do.
That's how they'll happen.
Because there's a lot of money in pickleball, and that's exactly what's happening. A lot of these pickleball aficionados are going out there and working with developers and finding some place a little bit on the outskirts of town and putting up a big. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of times they're multi-sport. Like they may also have indoor volleyball or indoor, you know, but they'll. They'll have pickleball courts that you can use at any time.
I'm a member of a club that has badminton.
There you go.
But there
said no one.
That's right.
I don't think that's making quite the comeback.
Right. Yeah. We're a badminton pickleball club. Mm. That's right. I just joined.
Is there croquet?
Well,
is there high lie?
We have. We're talking about padel, and we do have golf simulators as well that are being installed in the new facility. But anyway, go ahead,
Lisa. In Carmel, if someone was like you said, private, could anyone build an open air court, or would they have to enclose it for the noise?
Well, it would depend on where it was situated, because I think in the city limits, and these are public courts, I think that they're not allowing this on. But there, I think if you had a private facility, you would have to get it passed and zoned and all that. But once you did that, I mean, I think they would probably just, I think these courts that are at issue are right in the heart of town with residential areas all around, because it's a very cute, I've actually been to this little town, very cute little town.
Mm-hmm.
And the houses are older and quaint, and they're all kind of tightly, it's a cute, tight little neighborhood. So I'm sure that they are hearing these courts, the plastic on plastic.
It's very spendy, too.
Yep, they're mad about it, that's for sure. And they got their way. They have outlawed pickleball. An update from a story. I don't know that we've discussed it with you yet, Lisa, but Hillary Martin is a woman who has filed a lawsuit against SeaWorld Orlando because she was riding the Mako roller coaster in March of this year. I've been on that roller coaster, and it's awesome. She says that SeaWorld should have done some netting or signage or something to keep a duck from flying into her face and injuring her. She said she had neck injuries, that she was mentally and physically disfigured when the bird hit her in their face. But SeaWorld struck back recently and said, that was no duck. That was a snowy egret. We can't control where snowy egrets go. That's a migratory bird.
I love it.
Nothing
love
we can
that
do.
Play.
Is this the checkmate we think it is?
I believe it is, indeed.
Yeah. SeaWorld wins. So it makes a difference that it wasn't a duck then, Lisa.
It does. It makes a huge difference. So the issue is, if it's a duck and it's there all the time and this is a known hazard, then they have to, they have to do something about it, right? Mm-hmm. If this is because the ducks are there all the time. Mm-hmm. If this is a one-off because it is this migratory bird that's not normally coming through that, that roller coaster area, then they have no way of knowing that would have happened. And that's their argument. They're like, this is a real one-off thing. We don't typically have these coming through here near the roller coaster. And so we wouldn't have any reason to take any action in advance of this. And so I think it's a pretty good card they're playing.
Wow. Yeah, well, that's what Biggie said.
Every roller coaster now, I assume, takes pictures of people when they're on the ride and then sell them to you at the end. Yes. You imagine if it's her getting smashed in the face on film?
An egret. Wow. She should have bought it. And then Biggie said, too, she should have told somebody. She went about her business the rest of the day and didn't let anybody know. Then the next day said, I'm injured. I've got problems with my neck. I'm disfigured. That egret thing. And also, Chris Dem, full disclosure, has been injured by a snowy egret. He was riding a bicycle on the coast. Staring at a snowy egret. Touched tips with another rider, and down he went. Hurt his
shoulder
ankle and knee and shoulder. It was terrible. I mean, it was really bad. So we thought that is checkmate, it appears.
I like it.
For SeaWorld.
Checkmate, yep.
Lawsuit here from Carmen Thomas. I'm interested in this one. She used 23andMe, a DNA test, a couple of years ago, to find out more about her father that she never knew, an absent father. And she was matched up with two likely half-sisters who she met. Their names are Callie and Abigail Brown. They had a nice meeting at first, but then the two sisters said, well, we need space while grieving our father. Now, he had died years earlier, and so they sent the new woman away. And then she found out another year later that his death had resulted in a wrongful death medical malpractice, and the sisters had gotten $28 million. So this woman, who's now new to the game and discovered him through 23andMe, said, hey, I want my piece of the $28 million. Does she get it, Lisa, even though she didn't even know the dad until after he had died? What do you think?
In Massachusetts, because of where this happened, she is likely to get a share of it. With the caveat that she was not known to them at the time of the death and the lawsuit. I think it was years later.
That's right.
And so the timing of that may impact it. But I don't think they fully resolved it until after they met her. And so I think that's going to be the problem. It's not true in every state. In some states, the paternity has to be established during the life of the person who passes. And that's And that sometimes, you know, has terrible impacts on young children who, you know, maybe dad had an affair or something, mom doesn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
He dies in a car. Well, I've actually had it happen in car accident cases. Dad dies in a car accident. He had another kid out here that she didn't know about, but the paternity was not established during his lifetime. In a lot of states, that can be a real problem. And the Massachusetts version of this, it opens up some potential Pandora's boxes for kids born from sperm donation. And a lot of states, you know, like Massachusetts is starting to deal with that. I think they have some laws about that. But a lot of states where you can come back with this DNA, because what if dad was a sperm donor and he has like 30 offspring out there?
Yeah, really.
Mm.
I don't think sperm donation should count, but maybe if he has the affair, you know. I tell you, sperm does a lot of damage.
Are you saying we'd be better off without it?
Well, we need it, but
it's changed many lives.
We put it in a lot of places we shouldn't.
You're what?
It does a lot
but
of
we
damage.
Only once. I barely know you.
I think it just goes where it ought not sometimes.
That's been said by many as well.
Yes, exactly. But I'm a little surprised at that, because here she is. She never even knew her dad, and he died, and she wants her piece of the money. No wonder those sisters told her to go away.
Yeah.
You know, you can see them sitting around. At first, they enjoyed meeting her, and they were all getting along just swimmingly. And then the next thing you know, they're going, we need some space, because it's occurred to them, we might have to share this money with her.
Yeah.
The evil stepsisters.
I never would have thought of that if that was going on.
That's why I never want a 23andMe. I just don't want to know.
Don't even.
And people were too inquisitive.
Exactly. Don't even figure it out. Bad story here from Saginaw, Michigan. Kevin Kolb, he's a homeless man, has filed a lawsuit against Fisher Contracting because he was using one of their porta-johns, and the folks from the construction company, the contracting company, picked it up, lifted it, rocked it back and forth, splashing him with its contents. Kolb says the workers yelled at him, mocked him, caused him significant discomfort, emotional distress, all of these things. The company says, we didn't even know he was in there. We splash those things around all the time. We're lifting it up and moving it and so forth. They didn't know he was inside. I find that hard to believe, but it might be a he said, he said on this. What do you think here, Lisa? Does the guy who is using the porta potty wind up getting a settlement out of this?
You've nailed it when you said that, you know, it may be a he said, he said. If it is, then he loses because a tie goes to the defendant. But their stories are completely opposed to one another, where he says, and this guy, by the way, he has the worst hard luck story. His 19-year-old son died from a brain tumor, and he became very depressed and started abusing alcohol, and I think might have gotten into some light prescription drugs. And he was staying with his ex-wife, who I think he shared the 19-year-old with. They also had some younger kids. And he said, look, I didn't want my younger kids to see me like this, so I started just couch surfing with friends. And the next thing I know, I'm homeless.
Mm.
He was sleeping under a bridge. And, you know, when you got to go, you got to go. He sees this porta potty. So he leaves the bridge and goes over there. Technically, he's a trespasser. And so under Michigan law, the only duty you have to a trespasser is to refrain from willfully harming them. So if they were negligent in failing to see that there was no one in the porta potty before they moved it, then he's out of luck too.
Mm-hmm.
But if they did it on purpose, which is what he says, he's got to prove it. There were a bunch of guys there. You know, what are the chances that one of them is going to split and break ranks? And I doubt it. You know, they're going to have the same story probably. But he said they were relentless, that they, you know, they were yelling at him and telling him to, you know, stay the heck away from their porta potty and all this kind of stuff and teaching him a lesson. So it's just going to come down to what he can prove.
Yeah.
I think they knew what they were doing and picked it up like a martini shaker.
Like
Lisa's dirty martini from last night.
That's right.
Exactly.
Lisa.
Like, it was a great, and Natty Green makes a great dirty martini.
I saw you holding that thing. Oh, yeah. You had a few.
Classy.
That was nice.
Classy.
Yeah. A dirty martini while I was talking to you. Yes. I do too. I think they shook that on purpose to teach him a lesson.
Let's shake him up.
And he got splashed and all that kind of stuff. And it's embarrassing. It's terrible for him. But I don't know that he'll be able, like you just said, if they stick to their story, what is he going to do? Unless it's on
video.
Unless
one little construction worker breaks ranks.
Yeah. Or it's somehow on video, which I guess it's not. This is from Ohio. This is terrible. A group home was being sued for the wrongful death of a 41-year-old man, James Stewart. Apparently, he was there and he died from, and this is difficult to say, extreme fecal impaction. and they knew he had a history of constipation and issues like that. He was found unresponsive a month ago, less than, and the coroner determined he had 20 pounds of impacted feces in his colon.
Ugh.
Now, his family says, yes, 20 pounds, and his family is saying that the Clear Skies Ahead group home should have known that he was in distress. He had complained about it, and so they're filing a wrongful death lawsuit, as I think they should. I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah. That's want this case. Yeah, no, it's terrible, and it's a very painful way to die, because what ended up happening was all that feces ended up ripping his intestine.
Oh.
So it ripped open inside him, and so then feces was spilling into his abdominal cavity, which turns into a horrible raging infection. Mm. I see this a lot in nursing home neglect and abuse cases, which we do a lot of. And it's something that is just one of the very basic monitoring responsibilities that they have, is to make sure, because a lot of times people who are institutionalized, particularly bedridden or taking painkillers, get very impacted. They get very constipated, and it can lead pretty quickly to a life-threatening situation. It's really terrible.
That's awful. Yeah.
I can speak to this.
Okay.
Oh,
We were afraid you could. Yes.
When I was in the hospital, as you know, I've been a few times.
Yes.
They were very big on, when is the last time you used the restroom? Yeah. And if you go more than a day or two, they say, we're sending something down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like meaning what?
Mm-hmm. Like a laxative of some kind. Laxative. Yeah, because it's like, you have to go while you're here. Because when you're laying in a hospital bed, not doing a whole lot of movement, things don't move.
Yeah.
And there was one time she brought the stuff into me.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, here, you're going to have to take this. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be miserable. And it's like my body knew. And I said, I got to go right now. She goes, you got to go now. I said, move. I got to go right now. Got out of the bed, went in there, did my thing. And she was like, okay, you don't have to take this now.
I like it.
You dodged it this time.
Yeah. It's like my body. Yeah.
You ambulatory son of a bitch.
You're lucky it didn't get extreme, because you know what the final stage is when they get desperate to get it out, is it's the gloved hand.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, the nurse thought
it was... They do the reach in if they have to. Yeah.
Well, the nurse thought it was hilarious, because she's like, you know, I've never seen somebody's body react to just the thought of... giving you this, because it's a hospital laxative, so you know it's going to work.
You did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, I was like, and right there, she's like, okay, you're good.
I'll be him.
I was like, get out of my way, lady.
Is 20 pounds a record, Lisa, to your...
My God, Lisa.
It is a crazy lot of feces. It really is.
Yeah, 20 pounds.
What a horrible death.
Yeah. Think about that.
I posted some images on my social media, if you're really interested in some nasty looking stuff, of what x-rays of what a similar situation looks like. And you can just see this just masses of feces up in people's... Oh, disgusting.
No, yes.
Oh, man. Mark Zuckerberg may flag you for that. He may be like, yeah,
I think I might get a community standard.
I might report it myself.
Yeah. Is this the martini lady?
Yeah.
Oh, dear Lord.
God, how terrible. One more quick one here. A judge has ruled now that Ann Esslinger, she was from the Des Moines Public Schools, is entitled to her unemployment benefits. What happened to her was she was forced to resign because someone in her care, one of the students, uttered a racial slur. He said the N-word. And when she took him to the office, she repeated the N-word. She goes, you're not going to believe what this guy just said. And then she said it, and she was forced to resign. But she did get her unemployment benefits, Lisa. Was she rightfully terminated for repeating what the guy had said?
You know, technically, you're not supposed to repeat the word, but... I'm with her on the reason that she did it. And what it was when she was reporting this, it was in a noisy area, and the assistant principal or whoever she was reporting it to couldn't hear what she was saying. So she had said it several times the politically correct way, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the proper way. But she finally shouts it. And she has to shout it. And she has to shout it more than one time because he can't hear her. Mm. Well, the problem, I think all of this would have just been completely ignored. But there's a 15-year-old with a camera phone who records the whole thing and starts putting it on social media.
Yep.
And so there's this outrage about it because it's kind of taken out of context. So she's forced to resign. She did win the victory of unemployment. She's only worked there 3 years, and she was a monitor in a study hall.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if she was an actual teacher. But I think I can kind of see, you know, she was getting frustrated with the guy not being able to understand what she was saying, so she sort of spelled it out more for him.
Do you think it was one of those things where it was like totally noisy, and then the moment she
the phone stopped ringing.
Goes silent.
Right, and then she yells the bad word, right. Right.
I said he called him a...
Yeah.
What?
Right. Right, and this kid's filming the whole thing, and the kid got suspended.
Oh,
the
God.
The girl got a big old suspension, which they were really upset about.
Yep.
Improper use of technology was what they got.
Oh, is that what they called it for filming it? Man, yeah. She should have just like texted it to him, said, look, I'm going to text this to you, but in the politically correct way. He said, and then
email it.
Yeah, email it. You don't have to yell it over everything. Man, but she got her benefits out of the whole thing. Mm. My goodness.
She's getting her unemployment benefits. Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel bad for her because she was trying to do the right thing. She was trying to stop this kid from saying this word.
Yep.
And then she gets in trouble.
Said the word. Lisa Lanier, our official attorney of the Two Guys Named Chris show. LanierLawGroup.com is the website, or HireHeavyweight.com. Always great seeing you and hearing from you, Lisa. Have a great weekend.
You too. Have a great weekend.
There she goes.